so glad for the Bible. Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad for the Bible? Amen. 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 All right. Nehemiah. Nehemiah, chapter 2. Verse 6. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. I want to exert two questions out of this verse this morning. How long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? Amen. I've looked at these verses quite a while. As a matter of fact, this is a great book of Nehemiah, period. The entire book of Nehemiah, the main object and purpose of record in this book is that they built walls. They were a wall-building people. But I want to take out these two questions, and I wish to take this scripture maybe out of its immediate context, but not out of principle of the scripture, and approach it from a different, totally different perspective maybe than what we normally look at. How long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? Amen. I want to look at this verse from a in dealing with backsliders in particular. There are so many warnings and instructions in the Bible that deals with the danger of going away from God. The danger. And too often, if you read the book of Hebrews, he really gives us strong warnings in the book of Hebrews about backsliding. Too often, people go that road and take that route with so little concern about their soul and where they're going to spend eternity. Not everybody that takes that far country road gets back. That's the danger. I wish that people would take notice. But I could give you case after case and cases in point that you perhaps know about yourself, that people took that far journey into that desolate wasteland and never, ever got back. They had intentions of going back. They had intentions of getting back. They had intentions of making things right, but they never found the opportune time to do it, though many opportunities were there. But it was like Festus and Agrippa waiting for a more convenient season or a convenient time. And sometimes those convenient seasons elude us. And the devil does not want you to find a convenient season. Amen. The devil will see to it that you stay occupied or preoccupied with the desires of the carnality of the flesh, and see to it that you never find an opportunity or a season, a more convenient season. I want us to look at the man in our story this morning, amen, taking it from a different perspective and dealing with backsliders especially, amen, and maybe God would help us to have a greater burden for the lost, and I know that this morning here, most of us are saved, and I thank God for that. But I want to tell you, sometimes you never know what's in somebody's heart. And sometimes people are sitting in church and they go to church service after service, and their heart is looking in the other direction. And God deals with them a long time before they ever get plumb out of church. Amen. God tugs at their hearts, and so sadly so that they sear their conscience, and they override the spirit that deals with them. And when they're looking in the other direction, amen, they are only interested in what pleases themselves. Sin is selfish. Amen. Sin is self-centered. Sin only deals with the pleasure for me. Sin does not think about what it's going to do to families or the repercussions of sin, what the end result is going to be, how it's going to affect other people. Sin never lets you see, amen, the other side of the spectrum. Sin only deals with my feelings, my emotions, my pleasure, my fun. Amen. We are a generation. I want the Lord to help me here this morning. We are a generation that is hooked, and if I can use that term, like an addict that is hooked on drugs, we are hooked on pleasure. We are hooked on fun. Amen. Amen. We have such a bent in society upon entertainment and pleasure and fun that it has bled over into the church world. And if the church does not, come on here, if the church does not meet that standard or status quo of pleasure and fun and entertainment, we find ourselves losing interest in God. We lose interest in the church. We lose interest in the altar. We lose interest in the house of God. We lose interest in preaching of the Word of God, because our society is geared toward entertainment. Entertainment has never produced spirituality. Praise God. Hear me this morning. I said entertainment has never produced spirituality. Amen. You follow that train of thought, and it'll not be long until you have a worldly church, amen, that is so involved in keeping the membership and the attendees involved in extracurricular activities, amen, that is outside of the perimeter of salvation. Am I preaching all right this morning? Until we have such a worldly-minded, amen, populace in the church that we totally forget that it is supposed to be a soul-saving station. It is a place where men, amen, receive and get salvation by the blood of Christ and separate themselves from sin and the world. I'm preaching to you this morning, amen, from our text, how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? I want to tell you this morning, amen, as I have traveled across this country, amen, and even this summer in preaching camp meetings, I see entire churches, come on here, entire churches that have gone the entertainment route, amen, and there is no semblance of holiness and godly living left, amen, in the pew or the pulpit. And the pulpit is being led by the desires of the congregation that is carnal, instead of the congregation being led by the pulpit that should be, amen, leading a life of godliness and holiness. You cannot pursue that way, amen, but so long until, amen, we lose all semblance of a resemblance of separation from sin and the world, Amen. And the world has become so churchy, and the church has become so worldly, that they're intermingled and intertwined with each other, and there's no separation anymore. Come on here. Someone said just recently, I'm going to preach a little holiness this morning. Amen. Hello, you might get a little closer later on. Someone said just recently, amen, that when they were seen in a certain place of business and they were asked, amen, by the way they were dressed in shorts and, amen, and y'all listen to me, and other attire, amen, when they were asked by an individual, amen, you know better than that. Ah, amen. Now, this person has been raised in holiness all of their life. Amen. And they said, but we now have been liberated. Amen. I submit to you tonight that they are not liberated. They are backslid. Amen. They have lost their relationship with God. It is a trend towards sinful pleasures and entertainment. Come on here. And the church has become nothing more than a religious exercise. I'm preaching all right this morning. It is nothing more than a religious exercise to appease our conscience. Amen. To make us feel like that we are still religious and we're just as good as we ever were. But the truth is, come on, the truth is we are away from God. We have taken a journey down a Jericho road. Amen. And we are indulging in pleasures of sinful desires of the flesh. Amen. That 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you would have never thought about embarking on that Jericho road. Amen. But now you find yourself indulging in the Jericho road pleasures and still be religious. Amen. I want to tell you, amen, it's a long journey. I said it is a long journey. Amen. It'll take you a downward spiral, if you will. Amen. This man in our story, he had everything at his feet. Amen. He had the entrance or the favor of the court of his day. He had the ear of the king. Amen. He had brilliant prospects of the future. Amen. Ah, brother. He had potential out of sight. Amen. He had tremendous prospects for the future. Amen. He had everything going for him. Amen. But he decided to leave, amen, the security of the king's palace and the ear of the king to go into a wasteland. Amen. I want to tell you that's the way sinful pleasures lead. Amen. He shut himself out from everything that was good and everything that was wholesome and all the security of the palace of the king. Amen. And the ear of the court. Come on here. He shut himself out of the potential for the future. Amen. The prospects, his talents and abilities. Amen. He decided to leave it all behind and go into the wilderness. Amen. That's the way our generation is heading. That's the way the church world is going. And if we don't have a revival, amen, with a desire for God and holiness and godly living, we too will go that way. Somebody say amen. God has dealt with my heart with the direction of our church people. And we have become so calloused to the entertainment, pleasure, fun-seeking crowd. Come on here. That we think that we are owed it. Because, come on here. Because that everybody else is doing it. And all the other churches are going that way. Amen. I want us to notice the man in our story before he took this journey into a wilderness place, a wasteland. Amen. The Bible tells us he was sad of countenance. Amen. He was not happy anymore. The joy had left him. Come on, I'm preaching to you right this morning. The joy had left him. The thrill at serving the king was no longer there. Amen. The king recognized that there was something wrong with him. And he asked him about, why are you sad of countenance? Come on here. Amen. I want to tell you, I see people in the church that is no longer thrilled at the joy of being saved. They are sad in their countenance because there's pleasures of the world out there that they feel like that they cannot enjoy and be a Christian. And when a church, amen, or a modernist, come on here, and the worldlings, amen, offer them entertainment and church membership at the same time, they are all of a sudden enticed in that direction because the carnality of their own flesh reaches that way. They no longer pray. Amen. Come on here. They are religious, but the burden of their soul to please God and to please Him that has called them to be a good soldier, they're not happy with that anymore. They are sad of countenance. Woo! Help me here. Amen. They are discontent. They're no longer happy. There was a time they were happy. There was a time they were just thrilled just at the, amen, the joy of being a Christian. Amen. To serve Christ. To serve the King. Amen. To, come on here. Amen. To be at the hand of the King. Amen. To hear the voice of the King. But all of a sudden they're sad of countenance. And the world begins to look entertaining and appealing and desirous and appetizing. Amen. I want to tell you, unless the soul that gets in that shape, amen, has a revival in their own personal experience with God in an altar prayer, it'll not be long till they leave the King. They'll leave the church. They'll go the way of the worldlings. Amen. Help me here. I want to tell you, when you find yourself looking in the direction of the entertainments of this world, and all of a sudden you see and feel a desire in your heart and life for that crowd, amen, you better get yourself in an altar of prayer. You need to get yourself by the nape of the neck. And so, Mr. Flesh, amen, you're not going to go that way. Never, never, never. We're going to get this thing prayed through. We're going to get in an altar prayer and have a revival in our own heart. Whether anybody else does or not. Come on, I'm preaching to you this morning. Amen. He was sad of countenance. And he looked toward the wilderness. Amen. Woo! Amen. Instead of being happy like he once was, instead of being joyous as he once was, instead of being content to serve the King and listen to the words of the King, now he finds himself discontent and sad and unhappy. Amen. And he rather chooses to go to a country, take a journey, amen, to a country of wasteland, like Mephibosheth. Amen. Went to that country of Lodebar. Amen. Lodebar was a wasteland. Lodebar was desolate. Lodebar had no trees and no greenery. Amen. It was a desert place. It's amazing to me how the devil, amen, can make the world look so entertaining and appetizing and desirous to Christians that has been church most of their life. Say, come on here. Amen. I want to tell you, it's a wasteland. It's always been a wasteland. It's always been desolate. It's always been a, amen, place where there is, the end result is death. Help me here. It's a land of wilderness. It's a land that's wasted by war and famine. It is a place of ruin. Come on here. It's not always far from the church or the churchyard or the church parking lot. Come on here. I've seen people sit right in church and participate in a church service, and all the time their hearts looking toward Lodibar and the wasteland and the wilderness. And you can tell it. Amen. Come on here. You can tell it in their talk. Oh, I want the Lord to help me this morning. You can tell it in the way they, amen, do things. You can tell it in the way they say things. Amen. They're less defensive of a separated life. And they're more, amen, defensive. Come on, I'm preaching to y'all. They're more defensive of worldly entertainments. Hallelujah. Amen. What did the Bible mean when it said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world? If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For these are of the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. I want to tell you, it always leads on a downward spiral, a place of ruin. Amen. It's strange to me. Others have come and gone too. Amen. This generation is not the only crowd that's looked in that direction. Amen. There are others that have gone ahead of us in previous generations. Our predecessors, many of them tried the same road. Amen. They wound up in the same wasteland. They wound up in the same dust bowl. They wound up in the same far country. Come on here. Amen. They wound up in the same graveyard, away from God. There are examples everywhere. I want to preach this morning, amen, about how long is the journey. Amen. And when are you going to return? Amen. But every one of the predecessors, the generations that preceded us, that went the way of the worldlings, amen, desired the entertainments of this world. Amen. Now they are wasted. Amen. Why do the people of our own generation follow the same road to ruin? I don't understand. The devil blinds their eyes. Amen. Come on here. The devil blinds them to where they can't even see that they're going away until they're so far down in the hog pen in the far country they finally come to themselves and say, how did I get here? Amen. It's a wasteland. It's a downward road. Amen. Amen. Those who take that road think they will escape the same end of those that went ahead of them down that Jericho road. Somehow or another, they feel like they're going to escape ruin, that they're going to escape death, that they're going, am I preaching all right this morning? That they're going to somehow or another, amen, stop before they get to ruin. Amen. Yet, if they could only hear the dust, amen, of those that have died in the far country, our predecessors that went that way ahead of you, amen, that they have wasted their lives and wasted their person and wasted everything that they had. I want to tell you this. I'm going to preach to you all right. I'm going to tighten it down a little bit this morning. Hey, amen, why is it that holiness church people all of a sudden get interested in carnivals? Amen, in worldly places of amusement, entertainment, and think that they can escape, amen, the same downward spiral that others went and lost in the process. How is it all of a sudden, amen, come on, I'm preaching to you now. How is it that all of a sudden King's Dominion looks entertaining and appealing and appetizing? I'm preaching all right. How is it that all, I'm preaching to Massanova this morning. How is it and why is it that people, amen, in American holiness churches, all of a sudden the worldly pleasures in the world, come on here, amen, the worldly racetracks, amen, looks appetizing and desirous and appealing. Amen. Is it because they no longer want to serve the King? Is it, I want to tell you, you can't be in the wasteland of the far country on this journey and serve the King in the palace at the same time. It's an utter impossibility. Woo! How long will the journey be? Amen. They think that they're going to escape the same end. Ooh, amen, say, why don't they listen? Amen, did you know that every one of our bodies is made up of dust? And we're going to go back to the dust of the ground, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, and dust to dust. Come on, somebody say amen. A dear preacher, God help me, I want to preach this morning. Amen. I'd like to give us saints a better burden and a greater burden for the unsaved and the backslider. Yesterday, amen, a preacher told me of a little incident. Amen. One of his first funerals as a young preacher that he had to preach, amen, was of a backslider. A man that had went away from God and had known God and got in very wicked conditions and died in that condition. And they cremated him, his body, amen. And when they had the memorial service, they had him, I don't remember whether it was in a can or a little box, amen, amen, for the memorial service. And the man had a four-year-old boy, amen, a four-year-old boy, amen. And the boy came up to this preacher that I was talking to yesterday. And the little boy said, amen, called him by name and said, amen, they told me my daddy would be here. Amen. Can you tell me where my daddy is? Come on, I'm trying to talk to you about, amen, a long journey. Amen, and how long will you stay? How do you answer a four-year-old boy? Amen, that the remains of his daddy is in a can or a box. Amen, that you can hold in your hand. Amen. The little boy looked up to the preacher and said, where is my daddy? And the preacher, amen, unable to find the right words and good words and explain to a four-year-old boy, amen, that his daddy was in that box. Amen. He said, son, here's your daddy right here. Amen. Little boy said, my daddy's too big to be in that box. Preacher, where is my daddy? Say, amen. How do you tell a four-year-old, amen, that his daddy died and went to hell in a lost condition, a backslider away from God? How do you tell a four-year-old that? And finally, the preacher just shook his head and said, son, you're too young to really understand. And you couldn't really understand if I was to tell you. Amen. Maybe after a while. Amen. When you get a little older, we can tell you more about it. Oh, God. Oh, God. Help me. I'm trying to reach our hearts this morning. Amen. I want to tell you, it's a long journey. The question is, how long is the journey? Amen. And when will you return? Amen. Some churches that went that way has never got back. Amen. They indulge in the same indulgences that the Catholic Church indulges in and are still religious. Come on here. They drink, they smoke, they wear the shorts and their makeup. I'm preaching all right. And they go to the same hell holes and dens of the devil and sin. Amen. That others have gone. And feel no shame. And no, I'm preaching all right. Amen. They feel no remorse. They feel no guilt. Amen. Somebody said to me, Brother Savage, amen. Amen. I just don't see it that way. I'm not convicted of it. I said, you don't have to be. Amen. By your conscience being seared, naturally you're not. But the Bible said, thou shalt not. Amen. Amen. And you're condemned not by your conscience, but you're condemned by thus saith the Lord. Oh, God. Oh, God. It's tight preaching this morning. But I want to tell you, it's a sad day. It is a sad day. It is a sad day when holiness people start looking to the world for entertainment. Help me here. Am I preaching all right this morning? If those who start on that road could listen to the dust from the ditches of those that have died on that same road, if they could just hear the screams from the dust of those on that Jericho road that started the same way they did. Amen. Come on here. Yes, they've been there before. And they died in that far country. They died in the wasteland. They died away from God. Oh, if we could just hear the screams of the dust of those that, amen, have traveled before us into that far country. Somehow or another, amen, they have found themselves hard of hearing. Amen, they're going on that downward spiral and on that Jericho road. That is a constant, gradual decline from Jerusalem all the way down to Jericho. Amen. Come on here. It's a continual, gradual decline. So gradual you don't realize that you're hardly going downhill. But you are. Amen. Hey. Amen. Can't you hear the screams of those that's been down this road before? Don't you hear the screams of those, amen, that have been robbed by the devil? Amen, that has come to steal, to rob, and to destroy? Can't you hear the screams of those that's been ahead of you that scream loud and clear, don't come this way. Don't come this way. It's a dangerous road. Amen, wake up and turn around and go back. How long shall thy journey be? When will thou return? Oh, God, hit me this morning. The wise man Solomon, most believe that he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes and gave us some stern examples and not to follow. Amen. Somebody say amen. In the first chapter, he deals with all his vanity and vexation of the spirit. He said, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of the spirit. That which is crooked, that which is crooked, cannot be made straight. Amen. And that which is wanting cannot be numbered. What do you mean? Amen. Amen. When you get so far on that downward road, it becomes so crooked, you can never have any semblance of being straight and right again. Somebody say amen. Help me here. I've been on the Skyline Drive numbers of times through my life. Amen. As long as you're riding the ridge, it's a beautiful view. Amen. But when you start down to 11, when you start off that Skyline Drive, the first quarter of a mile, amen, is easy driving. A child could steer a car the first quarter of a mile. Come on, somebody say amen. But you keep coming down the mountain far enough and hit that first sharp curve. Amen. Come on. Many a soul has made shipwreck on that first sharp curve. Amen. But there are more curves after that. There's sharper curves after that. And they're closer together the further down the mountain you get. Amen. The closer together and more hazardous and risky the curves and the driving is. I want to tell you, that's the way the pleasures of sin is. That's the way the pleasures of the world is. The first while, it's a beautiful view, but you're on a downward spiral. And the first driving down for a while is pleasurable. Anybody would enjoy it. Amen. But I want to tell you, it gets more risky and more dangerous the further down the mountain and the sharper the curves. I want to tell you, the devil does not expect you to survive the twists and the turns of the road of sin and the Jericho road. He does not want you to survive. He wants you dead. He wants you, amen, a statistic. Amen, on some mountain curve, down a ravine of life. Amen, to where you cannot recover yourself. That's his purpose and aim and desire. Amen. Amen. That which is wanting cannot be numbered. Your desires become more curious. More curious. Come on here. The first time that you take a joint of marijuana, amen, it's pleasurable. That you keep that up. And after a while, one joint is not enough. You've got to have more. And you've got to have stronger. And in order to get the same high, come on here, that first joint gave you, your system is becoming immune to it. Now you've got to have more and stronger. Come on here. Am I preaching to you all right? That's the way sin is. You start on that downward road. Amen. Amen. It's pleasurable for a while. Amen. A short distance. Amen. Everybody's being entertained and enjoying the fun. But the curves in the road is getting sharper. Come on here. Now, amen, the same enjoyment and pleasure that you had at this level, amen, come on here, amen, it's reached its saturation point, and that pleasure is no longer pleasurable to you. It's common, it's mundane, it's status quo. Now you've got to go to another level, and it's not a higher level, it is always a lower level. It is always a downward spiral. Around the next curve is not on the same level. It's further down the mountain. Come on here. Amen. And before you know it, sin has become so desirous and appealing that you left the church altar. Amen. Come on, I'm preaching right. And you left the church house. And you left the church preaching. And you left the church singing. And you're on a risky turn. Amen, that's about to take your life. Say, amen, when will you return? Will it be too late when you come to your senses?
Boy, I'm a preacher.
God help me this morning. The preacher man said, I communed with mine own heart. Why didn't Solomon inquire from his father's advisors? Come on here.
I'm going to preach this morning.
I'm going to tighten her down just a little bit tighter than maybe some of you want it tightened. Amen. Why? Solomon was a wise man. And all of us know that in the end, the Bible tells us that his heathen wives turned his heart away from God. Didn't it do it? Why, being the wise man that he was, the wisest of all that ever lived beside Jesus Christ, amen, greater than Solomon's here, Jesus said. Jesus recognized the wisdom and the wise sayings of Solomon. Come on here. Why didn't Solomon, in all of his wisdom, when he was getting things and prosperous? Amen. I want to say this, and you don't fall out with me, but prosperity has never made anybody spiritual. Rather, to the contrary, it's taken people away from God. And there has been, come on here, there has been a transferring of desires and passions, amen, because of prosperity, that the church is no longer, amen, a feeding place for us to go. We need something stronger that will satisfy the flesh. Woo! Come on here! Why didn't Solomon go to his father's advisors and say, or to the chief priest, amen, and say, what do I need to do in this situation? Amen. What's the wise thing? What's the best thing that I can do? Amen. Instead, he went to his worldly heathen wives. Amen. That led him away from God. Amen. Come on here. Amen. Help me. I'm going to preach a little bit here. Why is it, amen, that when women in a holiness church, amen, all of a sudden looks towards some glamorous kook, amen, that looks so appealing in the flesh, amen, they start thinking about trimming and cutting their hair. They don't go to some blessed saint, amen, in the church. Come on here. Amen. Say, give me some instructions and some wisdom. They'll go to a worldling that already has cut their hair and say, what do you think about trimming my hair? Boy, ain't this good preaching this morning. Amen. I want to tell you, Solomon said, I commune with my own heart. Amen. Your carnality will lead you away from God. He didn't ask advice of wise people. He didn't ask advice of godly people. He didn't ask advice of the chief priest. Hey, man, come on here. He didn't ask advice of the Levites, the godly in his generation. Hey, man, he communed with his own flesh. Hey, somebody say amen. Hey, amen. Lo, I've come to great estate, and I've gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience in wisdom and knowledge. Amen. He said, I communed with my own heart. Amen. You know what one translation of that said? One translation said, I said in my mind, come now, I will prove you with mirth and test you with pleasure. So have a good time. Enjoy pleasure. But this also was vanity. You know what the word vanity means? It means empty. It means false. It means futile. Amen. Come on here. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 2. Amen. It said, I said in mine heart, go to now. I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure. Amen. And behold, this also is vanity. I want to tell you, amen, in the church world in America, and even in our holiness churches, we have the most pleasure-seeking generation that has ever come along. And if, preacher, if you can't entertain me and you can't get me high, I'll go to a church that is worldly in pleasure, amen, and I'll get high on their drugs. Amen. But I want to tell you, it's a dead-end road. After a while, amen, when the pleasure's gone, there will be a void and an emptiness inside of your heart. Amen. Verse 17 of chapter 1, I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. You know what that says? I have lost all sense of the ability of self-control. I've gone wild. Wow. Why is it that Wholeness, people. My goodness, I wish the whole church was here this morning. Why is it that wholeness people, when they start looking toward the races and the ball games and the Cowboys and the Indians and the Redskins and the Buffalo Bulls, come on, or maybe Chicago Bulls, amen, come on here. Why is it when they start looking that direction, amen, they go hog wild, uncontrolled. Amen. There is no restraint. Woo! He said, there's nothing under the sun that I withheld from my heart. He said, I've tried it all. Temporary pleasure. Amen. Did not the Bible say the pleasures of sin? Amen. Talked about the pleasures of sin. Yes, there's pleasures in sin, but it's only for a season. It is short-lived. Amen. Help me here. Amen. When wholeness church people, amen, gets to where, oh God, help me this morning. Amen. They want to rent videos. Amen. Amen. And seemingly, woo, I'm going to preach it tight this morning. Seemingly innocent comedy and cartoons to keep their children entertained. Dear God. Amen. Amen. They never ask the pastor what he thinks about it. They never ask the church board what they think. Boy, am I preaching all right, Brother Mac. They never ask the godly saints in the church what they think. They never go to their knees in prayer and ask God, amen, what do you think, Lord? Amen. They always go to that person that started indulging in it themselves. And amen, amen, how's it affecting your home? Oh, we are having a wonderful time. Amen. My kids stay at home. Boy, I'm preaching good this morning. Amen. Don't have to worry about where they are. But I want to tell you, amen, you're sowing the seeds of sin in the heart of those children that you're not going to get out in a church service on Sunday night. Hallelujah. And when the children grow up, amen, they're not going to be satisfied with cartoons. You have destroyed, amen, the fence of resistance. That wall of separation between Christianity and the world, you've torn it down. Amen. Boy, oh boy, I felt somebody pull back in the traces right now. That it's all right. And it'll not be long till you'll not be satisfied with cartoons and funny stories. Amen. You'll be renting other videos and movies. Amen. Until nothing is barred. I'm preaching to you. I'm preaching to you this morning. Come on here. How long shall thy journey be? And when wilt thou return? Come on, come on. Wake up here, church, this morning. Amen. Will you help me preach? Excuse me this morning. I want to give you an example of where our society is going in the wholeness movement. We are no longer satisfied with modesty in our dress. I'm going to preach. I'm going to get a little tight on you. Come on here. Hey, amen. Are y'all listening to me now? Hey. Amen. But you have to understand, preacher, you're obsolete. You're outdated. You're in yesteryear's time frame. You need to come up to speed in modern society. We are looking at the turn of the century and the millennium. New millennium is looking at us and stares. That's exactly what I'm looking at, my friend. And that's exactly what worries me, where the trend is heading. Come on. Somebody say amen. We're no longer satisfied with being modest. We want to unbutton. Amen. And put a gold chain around our necks. Boy, ain't I preaching good now. Hallelujah. Amen. The top button, amen, is acceptable and reasonable. Come on here. Ah, but when you go beyond that, you're looking in the wrong direction. Boy, ain't I telling it right this morning. I said, you're listening to me here. Hey, man, I commune with my mind. I said, I will prove you with mirth and test you with pleasure. Looking straight ahead. Come on here. I'm talking to the men and the women this morning. Looking straight ahead of you, that first button doesn't look too bad. The second button, hey, man, looks a little, well, hey, man, it's a little strange to us and foreign to us because we're not accustomed to seeing it like that, but it's still decent in a way. I'm getting in dangerous water right now. Somebody said, Brother Savage, are you preaching to me? If the shoe fits, wear it. Yeah, yeah. If you're looking in the wrong direction, hey, man, turn around. Yeah. Looking straight ahead of you, don't look too bad. But when you somebody standing to the side of you as Ben is, amen, more is visible than what you intended to show. Preacher, you're meddling. I know it. But you have to understand, I'm pastor, and you're not. And I, please don't take that in a sarcastic way. Please don't take that in a sarcastic way, because I don't mean it sarcastically. And I don't mean it in an arrogant way. But from where I stand and where I look, I can see a trend that is looking in the wrong direction. And if it don't stop here, it'll go to here. Somebody say amen now. And when it's not stopped there, it'll go to here. Now, I've got an undershirt on, so I'm still decent. And I'm covered. But help me here. Help me here. Am I preaching? Oh, God, help me this morning. Y'all didn't think Brother Savage was going to get this tight on you this morning, did you? Amen. And that gold chain around the neck does not stop there either. It winds up with rings on the fingers. And not just an engagement ring or the wedding ring. It is followed, boy, I'm preaching good. It is soon followed by a sweetheart ring. It is soon followed by a mother's ring. It is soon, oh, hallelujah. It is soon followed by a friendship ring. Until it's not long until you have, amen, jewelry on every finger and around every wrist. Amen. And you got a gold medallion on a chain swinging, amen, between your breast or down your chest. Am I preaching right? Amen. And your shirt or blouse is unbuttoned down to the belly button. And you feel no conviction. And you feel no restraint. I want to tell you, you're looking in the wrong direction. Amen. You need to make some mid-course corrections. Well, you can. Come on here. Somebody say amen. Amen. When the preacher gets tight on you, you need to say, oh, God, yes. Amen. I don't want to go that way. I didn't realize. Come on here. Am I preaching all right? Say amen. Help me here. It is one thing. I'm going to preach to you. It is one thing for people. Woo! Dear God, give me that other thing there. Amen. I got to get loose. Praise God. Somebody say hallelujah this morning. Amen. It is one thing for people that have never had, amen, a close commitment and surrender to God. Amen. That wears jewelry. Come on here. That have never shed out of their jewelry. Amen. And still they're in the church. I'm preaching all right. And it doesn't matter to me whether it's rings on the hand, amen, or bracelets on the wrist, or a necklace around your neck, amen, or cufflinks and tie clasps. Amen, it's one thing. I'm preaching all right. It's one thing for people that have never shed out of those things. Amen. Help me here. And that have never made a deeper commitment and consecration to God. And you know what they are. And you don't expect any more out of them until they get to where God deals with their heart. But when holiness folks that has had a relationship with God and a commitment and a close walk and shed out all of that trash of the world and the jury, and all of a sudden they start laying it back on. Amen. I say, you're looking in the wrong direction. Woo! Come on here. Come on here. Amen. You, how long will your journey be? How long will it take to get there? How long will you be gone? When are you going to return? Somebody said, Brother Savage, you're just walking all over me. Amen. I understand that. I understand. I do. Amen. And I understand it probably hurting right now. And I understand there may be a little bit of resentment right now. But I want to tell you, had you rather for me to keep my mouth shut and stay quiet and let you die and go to hell in that far country? Or had you rather have... Amen, that I tried my best to help you make some mid-course corrections and straighten things out and go, amen, in the direction that God led you when you got saved.
I had no idea I was going this direction here, but I'm here. Whenever holiness people start looking toward the world, amen, it's a sad day for the future of that church. I'm an old man. I'm not old, old, but I'm old. And I can tell it. And I can tell I'm out of sync with this generation. I want to tell you. Amen. We got some blessed saints that was among us. Amen. That have died because of old age or some of them tragic taking of them from among us. And I miss those blessed people. We've got some older saints among us yet. Come on here. In a few years, amen, all will be gone. And somebody else is going to preach from this pulpit. In a few years, Shelby Fraser's going to be gone. A few years, Brother Roy Horton's going to be gone. I'm preaching to you this morning. In a few years, all the older saints, amen, Brown's going to be gone. Amen, amen. Bill ain't that far behind me. Amen, a few years, he's going to be gone. Amen, Brother Slim's my age. Amen, a few years, he's going to be gone. Amen, and what's going to be left for the direction of this church if you bless it? Amen, wonderful young married couples don't make some mid-course corrections and say, oh, God, help me to do better and lead my family in the ways of righteousness and holiness in a way that the Word of God is pleased with. Amen. If there's a question in your mind about something, read the Bible. If there's a question in your mind about something, ask the preacher. Come on here. If there's a question in your mind, seek God until the Holy Ghost rings it clear in your soul. Otherwise, you're going to be looking in the wrong direction. You know why people never ask the preacher? Because they know before they ask him what he's going to say. Thus saith the Lord, give not your heart to madness. Give not your heart to folly. Follow not the way of the world. Does not the Lord thy God speak unto your heart to draw near unto me, saith God? And I shall give thee the desires of thine heart, if thy heart is right, saith the Lord. Draw near unto me with thy heart, and I shall do a fresh work in your life, saith the Spirit. Oh God. Oh God. I need to close. Time tells me it's time to close. There's a few things on my heart yet. It grieves me. It grieves my heart. I've been pastor here 24 years. And the Jericho Road has been the same to everybody that's went down it. Why is it that people don't ask the preacher before they go to King's Dominion? Why do they not ask the preacher before they go to the jewelry store? Why don't they ask the preacher before they go to the races? It is always after. Why don't they ask the preacher before they cut their hair? It is always an after the fact. Boy, it's close this morning. It's close this morning. Really, there's not much the preacher can say after the fact. Because, number one, you've already broken down that wall of resistance. You have already injured your influence upon them that's coming after you. Boy, I'm preaching tight this morning. I'm preaching tight. I'm telling us, I just got through preaching a camp meeting. It's the worldliest camp meeting I've ever preached in all of my life. And I preached a lot of camp meetings because of this. People came to camp meeting in shorts. Church people. Church people. From the churches came to camp meeting in shorts. I saw more makeup in jewelry and more slit dresses up the thighs in church people at camp meeting than I've ever seen in any other camp. Now my question is, how did they get that far? Come on here. How did it get that far? Amen. I said, how did it get that far? Somebody help me here. We want the preacher to preach it. We want the preacher to live it, but we don't want the preacher to enforce it. Tell me about it, preacher. Live it yourself, preacher, and you got to live it if you're going to be our pastor. We want you to live it, and we want your wife to live it. Amen, but don't impose it upon the congregation. Did you know that that's the reason? Amen. How many of you remember Jonathan Edwards, that preacher of bygone years that preached that famous sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Amen, amen. One of the most powerful pieces of literature and preaching material that has ever been preached or written down. Amen. And it was such a work of literature that for years, that sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, was in the public school literature books. Amen. I had it when I was in school. Of course, that's been a long time ago. Amen. Amen. They said it's the most profound piece of literature that has ever been compiled. Amen. And it was in the literature books. Amen. For years and years. And did you know, help me here, that powerful preacher, amen, Jonathan Edwards, amen, who leaned against the elbow, amen, with his face, amen, resting on the palm of his hand, and he read his message word for word in a monotone voice. Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God in the Congregational Church of Northampton. Come on here. Amen. He read it, and it was so powerful. And the Holy Ghost was there in such conviction that people wept and cried all over that congregation. And grown, stalwart, amen, muscular men grabbed a hold of the pillars in the church and screamed, "Preacher, quit. We're falling into hell." Amen. Did you know that church voted Jonathan Edwards out as pastor of that congregation? You know why? Not because he preached that message. It was the most powerful message ever been preached, probably in the history of this whole country. It was not because he preached it. It was not the monotone voice. It was not conviction that rested in the congregation. It was the fact that Jonathan Edwards demanded that the membership of that church live a sanctified, separated life from sin and the world. And they voted him out as pastor. 200, amen, and 1 to 26. Amen, help me here. An overwhelming vote out. Amen, because he required the church members to live a separated, sanctified life from sin and the world. Amen. Have we in the holiness movement come to that place in history that we no longer want to live the way the preacher demands that we live? Come on here. Do we will just want the preacher to preach it? Amen. And us go our merry way, indulging in the worldly pleasures without a voice being raised? Help me here. I think not. Amen. It's a long journey. And I really don't think that's what you want. If you stop and think about it, I really don't think that's what you want. But we've got to have a revival. Amen. First of all, we've got to have a revival among the saints. Amen. To give us a burden for the lost and repent of our worldliness and worldly passions and desires. Come on here. Give us a burden for the lost. Give us a burden for the unsaved. Give us a burden to reach the lost for Jesus in this world that's going to hell. We've got to have a revival in the church. Amen. And we have a revival and a burden for the lost and the backsliders. Amen. That's gone from among us. Amen. We will have an ingathering of souls. Amen. To lay at the Master's feet.
Did you know, dear God, help me. I'm over time this morning, but I'm going to finish. Did you know the majority of the time that God dealt with Israel because of her backslidings, and he sent judgments, and he dealt with them and pled with them, he rebuked them, he reproved them. Come on here. Am I preaching right? Amen. Most and the majority of the time, they never repented and they never turned around and sought the face of God. Most of the time, they continued reveling in their sinful pleasures and idolatry and adultery. Praise God. Preach, Brother Savage. Amen. Amen. They continued in their downward spiral. Amen. Of sinful pleasures and wickedness. Amen. But there were a few occasions, amen, when God spoke to them. They had a revival. Amen. The king's heart was turned toward God. The nation had a revival.
Amen. When the chief priests, come on here, and the elders of Israel read the commandments of God in His Word in the hearing of the congregation, and they heard God, and they heard the voice of God, and they repented and turned around. Now, hear me. The devil don't want you to turn around. He wants you to build a wall of resentment against this preacher and against this pastor. He wants you to have bitterness in your heart set up. Come on here. He wants you to have hurt feelings. That preacher's digging at me because he knows, amen, I'm guilty. I want to tell you, amen, I'm trying to get you to turn around. I'm trying to get your attention to realize where you're going, that you're looking in the wrong direction. There was an occasion or two where Israel heard the voice of God. Amen. In Jeremiah chapter 3, and I'm getting ready to close. Marcia, if you come. Verse 21. A voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way, and they have forgotten the Lord their God. Now God's talking. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Now there is the plea. Amen. How long will your journey be? There's the plea. And when will you return? Help me here. Am I preaching all right? Amen. 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 One of the most difficult times in the history of this church since I've been pastor. One of the most prominent and influential people. I preached one thing, they did another behind my back. Amen. And persuaded others to side with them. And we lost in the process. Now, what are we going to do? Are we going to hear the voice of God? Are we going to listen to the voice of God? Can't you hear the dust from the ditch of the Jericho Road? Don't come this way! Can't you hear the voice of the preacher? Turn around! Can't you hear the voice of God? Return! You backsliding children. Brother Savage, I'm not drinking liquor. I know that. I'm not smoking cigarettes and taking pot. I know that. But you stay in that direction long enough and you will. You go down that road far enough and you will. There's another curve and it's closer to the past curve than the last curve was to its curve. Come on here. And the road's getting twisted, unwinding more as you go down the spiral to Jericho Road. Somebody said, well, I'm still going to church. I know, but your heart's looking the other way. Got a phone call late last night from a preacher friend of ours that we've known for 40 years almost. 40 years. We've preached together. We've ate together. We had meetings together, tent meetings and citywide meetings. We prayed together. Amen. Somewhere down the line, a few years ago, they decided to go the other way. And they can still do things now that they would have never done 35 years ago. You could not have paid them enough money to do then what they're doing now. How long will the journey be? We're still praying. I know. Lot's wife was heading toward the mountains where the angel was leading them.
But her head twisted. Her body was going that way, but her face looked back.
I'm still. Most of me's in the right direction. I understand.
But the eye gate determines the direction of the heart. Boy, ain't I preaching this morning. I'm preaching tight. Now I know, but my heart is stirred. We've called for prayer meeting on Sunday morning at 9:30. We've got to have a revival in Massanova. I mean, it is revival or die. It's a return to God.
No, not after the fact. We've got to have a revival of prevention. We've got to have a revival. Not go that way. No.
Amen. Help me, Lord.
Return, you backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding.
Behold, now Israel says, Israel answers,
God has just gave them the plea. Return. He said, I will heal you. I will restore you. I will fix it.
Now Israel responds and says, behold, we come unto thee. For thou art the Lord our God.
That's the desired results. That's what God wants to see. Not that our crooked paths be turned out of the way, but rather that it be healed. But rather that it be straightened. But rather that it be fixed. Somebody say amen. Are y'all listening to me? Help me here. I'm trying to help y'all this morning. I don't know whether you're seeing it or not. Amen. But God's dealt with my heart this week. Oh, if we don't have a revival in our church, amen, we're going to go the other way. And it'll come faster. It'll come faster than you expected.
Chapter 4, Jeremiah, verse 1.
If thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me, and if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. Hosea, chapter 14, verse 1. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words. And turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity. And receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips.
Take with you words. What words can we take to God in closing? What words can a person that's been looking in the wrong direction and been turning in the wrong direction, what words can they bring to the Lord? There's only two words that God wants to hear. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Both are to blame. The best thing that the other companion can hear is, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Let's fix it. Let's fix it. That's what God wants. God gets no glory out of the death of the wicked. God gets no pleasure out of the death and the going away and going astray of those that have known God. There's no pleasure to God in